Welcome to the Your Dating Bestie podcast. I'm Ellie Klein, your best friend for all things dating. As a professional dating mentor, kind of like the love child of Carrie Bradshaw and Crocodile Dundee, I help women go from dating sucks to dating success with my unique best friend approach. Ready to find your Mr. Right? It all starts at yourdatingbestie.com. Hello, and welcome back to my special podcast series, and just like that, you're inspired to find love. Dating advice based on the show. This episode is based on, and just like that, season 1, episode 4, Some of My Best Friends. Carrie decides to sell her and Big's apartment and makes friends with the real estate agent. Miranda goes for dinner with her professor and discusses the pros and cons of motherhood. And Charlotte tries to impress a new friend and makes a complete fool of herself, but totally redeems herself in the end. There are some really juicy dating and relationship topics to discuss in this episode, so let's dive in. When Miranda goes out for dinner with Naya Wallace, her professor at Columbia Law School, they get chatting about motherhood. Naya is trying to get pregnant through IVF, but she admits to Miranda that when her last round of IVF didn't take, she felt a sense of relief. She loves her life and her husband the way it is, but she's worried that if she doesn't have kids, she'll regret it. Miranda gives her a reality check about motherhood and outlines some of the pros and cons, but it's what she said about regret that was particularly interesting. She said no matter which path you take, you'll always wonder what your life might have been like if you'd taken a different path. What she's trying to say is that even if Naya does have kids, that doesn't mean she's not going to experience a sense of regret. She'll always wonder what her life might have been like if she didn't have kids. This concept extends way beyond whether or not to have kids. For instance, if you live in one city, you'll always wonder what it would have been like to live in a different city, or in the country, or in an RV traveling around the United States or Europe, or on a boat sailing around the world. David and I made this decision not to have kids for a number of reasons, but of course we sometimes think about what our lives would be like if we did have kids. If we'd met 10 years earlier than we did, we probably would have had kids, but I truly believe we made the right decision for us under our particular circumstances. As a result, we have a lot more freedom, a lot less stress, a lot more time and energy for each other, a lot less financial pressure, we get to take more risks in our careers, and hopefully over the years we'll get to do a lot more travel. Spending quality time with family and friends who are scattered all over Australia, the United States and other parts of the world is also a priority to us. If you're a heterosexual single woman who wants to have kids, you can find a man to have kids with. And if you're a heterosexual single woman who doesn't want to have kids, you can find a man to share your life with, just the two of you. It's funny how women who want kids say all the single men out there don't want to settle down and have a family. They just want something casual. And the women who don't want kids say all the single men out there are looking for a wife and the mother of their children. They're not interested in a woman who isn't maternal. So who's right and who's wrong? Both and neither. Single men come in all different shapes, sizes, and levels of interest in having kids. Finding the ones who are looking for the same thing as you is a natural part of the dating process. There are literally thousands of single men within driving distance of your home. It would be a statistical anomaly if all of them just wanted something casual, or all of them just wanted to settle down and have kids. There's no need to delete the dating apps and give up on men the moment you come across a few who don't want what you want. Just swipe left and keep going. Okay, next lesson. Carrie and Seema, Carrie's real estate agent, are chatting as they wander through a home that's open for inspection. Seema doesn't even know Carrie that well yet, but she says, "Feel free to introduce me to any available men you know with a good heart." This is a wise thing for a single woman who's looking for love to do. You won't find as many prospects as you would through online dating, but it's worth a shot. Someone in your life just might have a potential life partner or husband for you. There's nothing desperate about telling people that you're looking for love. It's possible to be a confident woman like Seema, but also warm and vulnerable. People are really drawn to warmth and vulnerability. But then Seema says, "Even if the men are a fixer-upper, I can flip them." Okay, given the fact she's a real estate agent, this is a cute and funny line, but let's hope she doesn't mean it literally. attempting to change a man and mold him into something that's more to your liking is literally the worst thing you can do. Finding a man you can accept as he is, that's the path to true love. Samantha put it best in Sex and the City when she said, "Be careful with alterations. If you pull the wrong thread, everything falls apart." Touché, Samantha. Here's why you should never attempt to change a man. Firstly, you won't succeed. And secondly, he'll resent you and end up pulling away from you. That doesn't mean you have to accept everything 100% of the time. Some things are negotiable. But on the whole, it's important to love and accept him as he is, just as you'd like him to love and accept you as you are. If you're unable to love and accept a man as he is, he's not the right man for you. Okay, next lesson. The moment Seema walks away from Carrie, she gets hit on by a man she later refers to as her worst nightmare. Ouch! I thought that was a little harsh. He might not have been the smoothest or most attractive man, but I didn't think he was that bad. It's fine that Carrie wasn't interested in him, but instead of being grossed out by him, she could have chosen to be flattered. He found her attractive, he mustered up the nerve to talk to her, and he took it well when he got rejected. Good for him. It's funny how women complain about online dating, and then when men approach them in real life, they complain about that too. Whether it's online or offline, you can't control who finds you attractive. You can only control how you respond to them. If it's offline and you're not interested, you should feel flattered but politely decline their advances. If it's online and you're not interested, you should feel flattered but not respond to them. Online, most men would much prefer not to hear from you at all than to be told unequivocally that you're not interested in them. If being approached by men you're not the least bit interested in upsets you, it's probably because you're scared you're never going to be approached by a man you are interested in. This is a common and understandable fear, but you need to put it aside and keep moving forward. It's all part of dating, and it works both ways. Sometimes he'll be interested and you won't. Other times you'll be interested and he won't. Statistically, men have it way worse than women. Men experience rejection far more frequently than women, which is probably why they're better at handling it than women. Okay, some men do turn into angry wounded bulls, but I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about men in general. They're used to rejection, so they don't let it stop them from dating. You can learn something from this. Don't ever let rejection or anything stop you from looking for love. It only takes one. Just one man, the right man for you, and then you're off the market for good. Okay, next lesson. Carrie and Seema are sitting in a bar chatting about online dating and laughing at men's dating profiles. One man with a shirtless profile picture says in his dating profile that he's looking for fun, and Carrie says he should be looking for a shirt. Again, this is a cute and funny line for the show, but when you're flicking through online dating profiles, it's worth keeping in mind that most of these men, not all, but most, are just as vulnerable or lonely as you are. They want love, affection, and someone to share their life with just as much as you do. They're putting themselves out there and they're doing their best, even if their best seems rather clumsy or clueless. But guess what? All of these men will probably end up in a life partnership or marriage someday. That's because an average dating profile doesn't necessarily mean he's an average person or would be an average partner to you. It just means he's average at crafting dating profiles, and that's because it's a skill he's never been taught. Women who are empathetic to this and give some of these guys with average dating profiles a chance discover there's a way above average man behind the average dating profile. And just quietly, your dating profile probably isn't particularly dazzling either. You are probably far more dazzling than your dating profile. I'm sure you'd like more men to give you a chance, even if they aren't completely smitten by your dating profile. Okay, next lesson. Carrie and Seema are discussing various online dating sites and apps, and Seema says, "I just want someone to create a dating site that's called, 'Here's the man you've been searching for, Seema.'" Look, I get it. If anyone knows how confusing, frustrating, and disappointing online dating can be, it's me. I did online dating for 11 years before it finally paid off and I met my husband David. And looking back, I now know exactly how I could have had a much quicker and smoother journey to love, which is why I'm so passionate about what I do. Not only do my clients find love online, they even enjoy the journey. So while some dating sites and apps are better than others, there's no such thing as the perfect dating site or app. All of them require time and effort and come with frustration and rejection. But they also come with the high likelihood of flirting, dates, kisses, romance, relationships, and marriage. So let's talk dating sites and apps. I recommend being on at least one dating site and at least one dating app. If you're in the US, I recommend Match.com as your dating site. If you're in Australia, I recommend RSVP as your dating site. One of the advantages of dating sites over dating apps is your dating profile and men's dating profiles are usually longer. So you start out with a lot more information about each other. And these particular dating sites send you matches, but also let you search. You can run a super wide search for every man between, say, 30 and 50 years of age within a 100-kilometer radius of your home. You can also run a narrow search for, say, every man in Australia who lists himself as Jewish or Muslim or Hindu or Catholic. As for dating apps, Hinge, Bumble, and Tinder are the most popular dating apps in both the US and Australia. I suggest you play around with all three of them and then pick your favorite. And you might be interested to know that if you join the Your Dating Bestie community, I will literally write your dating profile for you. A long one for a dating site and a short one for a dating app. Okay, this is the final lesson for this episode. It's part of a much longer and really interesting scene, probably the most interesting scene in the show so far. Towards the end of this scene, Seema says to Carrie, "Maybe there's a little part of me that doesn't feel sorry for you, because at least you found the love of your life and you had many wonderful years with him. In my eyes, that's something worth still putting yourself out there for." And Carrie says, "I agree." I agree too, Carrie. As painful as it is to lose the love of your life, it's well worth it for all the time you got to spend together. And as painful as dating can be, it's well worth it for the chance of finding true love. As I mentioned earlier, I did online dating for 11 years until I finally met David at the age of 38. And I would have done it for another 11 years if I had to. And another 11 years after that, if necessary. The destination is well worth it. But it's not all about the destination. The journey can also be enjoyable. If you learn how to control the dating process rather than letting the dating process control you, dating itself can be a lot of fun. Now, if you want to have a much quicker and smoother journey to Mr. Right than I did, here's my number one tip. Stop passively consuming dating advice and start actively learning how to date more effectively. Dating advice alone won't help you find love. All these articles, podcasts, videos, books, and courses are actually keeping you stuck. You don't need more information. You need implementation, someone to help you apply the advice. That's why I take a unique best friend approach to helping my clients find love. Inside the Your Dating Bestie community, you'll receive my step-by-step blueprint for finding Mr. Right, but more importantly, 24/7 access to me to help you implement it. You'll also receive a professionally written dating profile to make you irresistible online, and you'll be welcomed into a supportive group of like-minded ladies. No more going it alone or trying to figure out this whole dating thing by yourself. Care to join us? It all starts at yourdatingbestie.com. Are you an attractive, intelligent, and fun-loving woman with a big heart and you can't figure out why you're still single? Well then, my free report has all the answers. It's called Why You're Still Single. 7 reasons a luscious lady like you hasn't found her Mr. Right yet. Just visit yourdatingbestie.com.